Mark chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 40 and read to the end of the chapter. Give your attention to God's holy and infallible word. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I'm willing. Be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. This ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word, and may we experience the cleansing power of God this day by this word. Well, today, as it's been already pointed out, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. And if you're like me, then you may struggle with this table. You may wrestle with this sense of, how can I come to this table? How can I approach God in fellowship when I struggle in my life to maintain continual and perpetual fellowship with God? When I'm too easily distracted, when I find sin at times rising up and overwhelming me and carrying me away, how can I come to this table when I am still so much a selfish sinner? It seems more than I am a child of God. Well, we have a word from God today. We have a word from God today that will help you to sort out that struggling heart. And in this word, Christ is revealed. Christ is revealed as one who is not only able to save you, but He's willing to save you. He wants to save you. And if this is what He wants to do, He will do it. He is able to save you, and He's willing to save you. And He's not only willing to save you, He's not only willing to just merely deliver you, He is willing to cleanse you. That is, He is willing to make you holy. He's willing to make you more of a child of God today than you were yesterday, and even more tomorrow. And He uses not only His Word, but even this table to bring to you a sense that you really have a place here. Not because it is something that's deserved, but because it is something that has been freely given, freely granted. He welcomes you and He invites you to this table today to commune with Him, to sup upon Him, to be nourished and fed by faith on this Christ. And so we want to consider then 4 points as we move along our text this day. And here are our 4 points. First of all, we want to consider a king, or the king that is approached by a begging leper. The king is approached by a begging leper. And then secondly, the king commands uncleanness, or gives a command to uncleanness. Thirdly, the king commands a cleansed man, or he gives a command to a cleansed man. And then finally, the king is banished like the leper. The king, as it were, trades places with the leper. So with that, let's consider first of all, the king is approached by a begging leper. Look at verse 40. A leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him and saying, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Well, to gain the full import of what's going on in this passage, we have to start with a consideration of leprosy. What is leprosy? Leprosy is not merely what today is called Hansen's disease. It's not just this one form of skin disease or infection. Really, leprosy in the Scriptures was any infection of the skin. Not only that, but also leprosy was any what would be infection, I'm putting it in quotations, of walls, clothes, buildings. So really where any kind of microorganisms were taking over and oppressing a person, a place, or a thing. Leviticus 13 and 14 provides instruction on and information instruction on leprosy. And there were many instructions from the Jewish commentaries and law books as well. There were 72 different afflictions that were classified under the diagnosis of leprosy. So you can see how broad this is. In essence, one who had the diagnosis of leprosy was declared unclean, at least ritually or ceremonially, and they were banished from the camp to go live out in desolate places, to go live out in the wilderness. Leprosy was called a plague. But there was more concern with spreading ritual uncleanness as opposed to medical uncleanness. Now, not every skin infection was contagious, but if you touched someone with leprosy, you had to leave the camp too until you were ritually clean again. So it would put you out as well. Well, that's what leprosy is. Now, consider the interactions that you would have with society as a leper. You were one who was isolated. You experienced great loss. Loss of health, loss of reputation, loss of occupation, you couldn't work, loss of family, loss of community. This was a plague. In Leviticus 13, verse 45 and 46, it's declared, "For the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, the hair of his head shall be uncovered, he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." I mean, imagine this. You actually, if you were walking even outside the city limits, you had to warn people that you were coming. You had to tell people you were a leper. I mean, what kind of shame you would bear? Unclean, unclean! You'd tell people, get out of the way! Stay away from me! Along with the Scriptures, the rabbinical laws said that you had to stand at least 50 paces from others without leprosy. It was your responsibility as a leper to remain, 50 steps or 50 feet away from other people. And if you didn't, you could be stoned. They had every right to stone you in self-defense. Think about that. You were considered one who contaminated people, contaminated houses, contaminated nature. There are these rules about trees and leprosy. You couldn't even touch trees. I mean, imagine you're leprous and you think, well, I need to get food somehow, and you try to pick some fruit off of a tree. You just made the whole tree unclean. Clothing. Well, why have so many laws about lepers? Why emphasize this ritual or spiritual uncleanness, especially if most forms weren't actually contagious? Well, as I said before, some leprosy was deathly contagious. But God intended to make it abundantly clear that you and I are unclean. That you and I are unholy. That by nature, you and I are perverse. You can think about Adam and Eve, our first parents, the first man and woman there in the garden, who were, interestingly, they were outwardly naked, but they were inwardly unashamed before their rebellion and fall. You see that? There was an outward and natural reflection or revelation of an inward and spiritual condition. And when they became guilty by their lawlessness, by their sin against God, well then, they had something to hide, didn't they? You see, because there was an outward concern for an inward spiritual defilement. They were ashamed of their nakedness because they were ashamed of their exposure of their own soul. So with leprosy, all of humanity is born with spiritual leprosy. God is saying, are you all aware that there is such thing as filth and corruption and pollution and decay and cancer that resides in the soul of man? Now, interestingly, He's not just like leaving the leper out there to be leprous and as if he has no compassion or care. He actually provides a way for the leper to be restored into society. And here again, he uses the gospel as a way of communicating wonderful and spiritual truths. Leviticus 14 tells us that the priest, the gateway to Israel's holiness, the priest is to declare the leper cleansed. Now, healing was in God's hands alone, and so the priest simply declared, or actually you can use this word because the Bible does, the priest justified the leper as no longer a leper, or the leper as clean. They diagnosed leprosy, they declared it was healed, but they could not heal leprosy. And so, appreciate then that if we see a cleansing of a leper, this is the miraculous work of God alone. In those rabbinical writings, sometimes they compared the cleansing of a leper to resurrection. Because it's as if this one who is lost and dead and isolated and separated has been resurrected, made alive, and brought back into community. It's quite significant then to be cleansed. It was the grace of God. And so the priest then communicated cleansing, spiritual cleansing, through these ritual signs. And we'll talk about that when we get to verse 44. In verse 40 then, what we see is that there's a leper who comes to Jesus. In verse 34, which we didn't read, we see Jesus at Peter's house healing all kinds of diseases. But he probably, I'm just kind of going out on a limb here and saying, most likely what he didn't heal was leprosy. Because lepers weren't allowed to be brought into a context like that. They'd be killed. They'd be, minimally be whipped, 40 lashes. So Mark brings out this particular account in the midst of Jesus going around Galilee and preaching. And I want you to appreciate right now, this is not just then another healing story. This is not just another narrative about Jesus casting out demons or healing some kind of sickness. This is a cleansing account. This is a cleansing narrative. The leper, in a sense, didn't simply need to be healed. He needed to be made clean. In fact, the word healed, it never shows up in these verses 40 to 45, but the word clean or cleanse shows up four times. Now, there's a significance to that too, and we'll get into that. Notice that this leper does not keep distant from Jesus. He's willing to risk his own life in order to be in the presence of Jesus. He's willing to even risk offending Jesus in order to plead with Jesus that he would cleanse him. There's a sense in which he's brought to the end of himself. What do I have to lose? My reputation? Gone. My life? Might as well be gone. But this leper's actions are more than just demonstrating to us that he's willing to risk it all. These actions of the leper reveal his faith. They reveal his trust in Christ. They reveal that his thought is Christ must be more compassionate than I am offensive. And consider his actions in this posture here. I mean, how many times had this leper gone to the priest? He had to go at least once in order to be declared leprous. But how many times did he maybe think, you know, oh, I'm clean, or he couldn't see it or something, I don't know. But every time he would go, whether it was once or whether it was 20 times or whether it was 200 times, he would only hear the law declare unclean. But here he comes to this one. He comes to him. Notice, face to face, there's an urgency about his need. He comes to him, it says, beseeching. This is the word for begging or pleading. He comes to him in prayer. He comes to him humble. And it says that he kneeled before him. He's taking the posture of an inferior. He's treating Jesus like a Lord. In fact, in the other account in Luke, he says to him, Lord. He calls him Master. And so there's an urgency to his faith. There's a humility to his faith. There's a reverence to his faith. But there's also a desperation. And these are seen in the very words he speaks to him. If you are willing, you can make me clean. There's no doubt in the mind of this leper that Jesus has the power and the ability to cleanse him. But he is unsure. Or at least he acknowledges that it's not up to him, it's up to Jesus if he would be willing to heal him, to cleanse him. And let me ask you today, sitting in these pews, do you know that you are in need also of the cleansing of Jesus? Are you aware that you're just like this leper? In coming to church today, you've approached Jesus, whether you're aware of that or not. So let me ask you, why have you come today? Maybe you've come because this is just part of your weekly routine. Certain days I go to the gym, certain days I go to the coffee shop, certain days I go to work, certain days I go to church. Maybe you've come today because your parents dragged you here. Maybe you've come here today to see a girl. Maybe you've come here today because you like to hop around to different churches and see what makes you feel good. But let me ask you, have you come today with the desperation that this leper comes to Christ? Is it your cry? If you are willing, you can make me clean. Do you sense your own spiritual defilement and contamination and an uncleanness from your sin? And here's the good news, that the messy and the polluted, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right one, because it's Jesus Christ alone who's able to cleanse you and purify you and purge you. And so we see, really, the one who is the object of this story. Not the leper, but Christ Himself. Look at verses 41 and 42. where we see the king commands uncleanness. Verse 41, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I want to denote a number of things that we see in these two verses. And the first one is this: Jesus is not offended by this leper's approach. Because what he sees is the approach of faith. Most would respond by a leper coming up to them in fear or in anger. But this leper is met with compassion instead of contempt. There's a place in the Dead Sea Scrolls that talks about the expected age of the Messiah's reign. This king Messiah is going to come, and what a grand and glorious thing it is. And it tells us that actually the lepers will be banished from the great feast and the new temple. Now that's their view of the Messiah. He's going to be able to completely rid the land of all uncleanness, including these unclean people. I mean, with that kind of view, the question is, who gets to come to the banquet? But Jesus is actually challenging that view. The Messiah has come, and he's saying no to that view. He's saying, no, the Messiah has compassion on the lepers. If not on the lepers, then how on you? And so he's not offended by this approach of faith. Further, Jesus touches the untouchable. If you touch a leper, you become ceremonially unclean. You have to leave the camp. You can't go to the temple. You can't walk back into your home until you are ceremonially made clean again. Just a practical question in terms of this story. When do you think was the last time that this man had been embraced? When was the last time he was touched? But Jesus, he was not made unclean. He couldn't be made unclean. Rather, he could make others clean by his touch. Jesus, he was not infected by unholiness. He was the one who, when he came, he turned dirt into holy ground. And I want you to notice here even the beauty and the way in which Jesus interacts with this man, because his willingness to cleanse is not first declared in the words, "I am willing," but his willingness to cleanse is first displayed without words, by this intimate touch, this embrace. He reached out and he touched him. That's what assured this man that he was willing. He was so willing. We have, in a sense, a picture of the incarnation. How willing is God to come and save us? Well, he will take on our weakness. He will be like us. He will be touched by our infirmities. He could have just said, "You're clean." And maybe that's what the leper was expecting, you know, like, "Be clean." You know, no, be clean. And I want you to notice that he's identifying with the leper's uncleanness in all of this. It's as if Jesus is saying, "I am prepared to become by choice what you are by nature, a man under the judgment of the law. I'm willing to be declared unclean in order to share with you the cleanliness that I have, the holiness that I have. I want to give you life and freedom, and so I will identify with your leprosy." And then Jesus does speak to this one who has been secluded, who has been quarantined, who's been friendless. He assures the man. He assures his faith. He provides security to his trust, and he says to him, "I am willing. Let me assure you. Let me remove all doubt from you. Brother, I'm willing." Hasn't Jesus given you His Word to provide assurance to your faith? Hasn't He given to you the Bible so you can hear the very voice of Jesus saying to you, I'm willing, be cleansed. Notice this statement, be clean. Be clean. You understand this is a command. And the question becomes this, what's he commanding? Is he commanding the leper to be clean? No. No, here is one who gives commands to diseases and they obey. When Moses' sister receives leprosy for her challenge to God's plan, what does Moses do? He cries out to the Lord. When the Gentile captain Naaman goes to Elisha to be healed of leprosy, Elisha keeps his distance from Naaman. When the priests are visited by these lepers who are healed, it says that they go outside the camp, but they only declare a cleansing. They do not cure the leper. But I want you to understand, look at this passage. Jesus is not crying out to the Lord. He's not keeping His distance. He's not merely giving a testimony. He commands the leprosy to be clean. This is none other than God. This is one who transcends Moses, transcends Elijah, transcends the priest. He's better than all of them because He has the power and the desire to cleanse this man. That makes Him different than all of the gods of all of the different religions. He's not merely angry. He is compassionate. Mark opens up his gospel with this statement that God is coming. And Jesus in this passage is saying, yes, here I am. I want you to notice also that the leprosy does depart. It leaves. It goes away. It says here, immediately he was healed. Mark loves to use that word. Imagine for a moment, just reflecting on the power of Jesus. There are a number of medical people in our congregation, and probably many more who have had medical issues. And today, when you think about how skin diseases are cleansed or healed, typically you need a round of medicine, whether lotions or creams or oils or powders or baths or pills or IV medication. There are multiple dressings that are to be applied, wet or dry, sealed or unsealed. We use the term occlusive or unocclusive. Some people need to have surgery, and so you have to have a day in which you prepare for surgery, and then you go into surgery. Skin grafts are harvested and transplanted. But there is no treatment with immediate cleansing power. And here is one who simply commands the disease and immediately they are cleansed. And this not only demonstrates Christ's power, but it does also demonstrate, again, His willingness to cleanse. The leper wanted to be cleansed. The leper wanted to be restored. He wanted to be made whole, but he couldn't do anything about it. Jesus has the power to cleanse and restore and make whole, and He wanted to. In fact, you could say there's a sense in which Jesus wanted to more than the leper. It did cost something for the leper to come to Jesus. It cost so much more for Jesus to come to the leper. And Jesus is not seeking then to be radical and contrary to the law of God. He is seeking to call this man to faith in Him. Not only does He give commands then to the leprosy, but I want you to notice thirdly, our third main point, the king gives commands to a clean man. in verses 43 and 44. It says that Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So Jesus basically gives two commands to this cleansed man. Two commands. The first one is this. Don't tell anyone what happened here. This is perplexing. You wonder, why? Why would Jesus say this? Notice the actual language here is he sternly warned him. He strongly and seriously commanded him. There was no misunderstanding on the part of the leper that he's not to say anything. There's been some writing and some discussion about this command of Jesus, not only here, but in many other places. It's often called the secret motif or the secrecy motif. And the idea is that Jesus tells demons not to tell anybody who he is. After he performs miracles four different times, he says, "Don't tell anybody." Two times with his disciples, he says, "Don't tell anybody." And One writer goes so far as to say this. You know what's going on here? You see, this just proves that Jesus didn't actually claim to be the Messiah or think that he was the Messiah. But instead, it was only after the resurrection that people started to believe that he was the Messiah. And so Mark here tries to deal with this inconsistency. Jesus not identifying as Messiah, but people identifying him with this idea of the secret motif. Here's what we'll say. As if Mark, and this is wrong, by the way, but this is the idea. Mark's thinking, how can we deal with this? Oh, I know. We'll just tell him that Jesus told everybody, "Don't say anything." I want you just to appreciate that. If, first of all, when Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody," it had the opposite effect. He's telling them explicitly, "Be silent about this." And often what that ended up doing was producing more of a witness. Except maybe with the demons. But secondly, I want you to notice that Rome does end up crucifying Jesus because he claimed to be Lord. If there was no accusation of his claim to be Lord, then that would be against Caesar's command. And they were very by the book. And so the point is that Jesus definitely declared his lordship. So why does Jesus silence lepers and demons? Well, Jesus wants to guard his messianic identity from people misunderstanding who he was. The premature and the false understanding. Now, here's the beautiful thing for us today. We're not gagged. We don't have to be silent. In light of the finished work of Christ and the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, we can go all around the world. We can go into our neighborhoods. We can go to our family members. We can tell ourselves Christ really is the Savior. He really is the Messiah. But he commands him, "Don't tell anyone here," and he does. I'll talk about that in a moment. The second thing he tells him to do is go to the priest for justification and for offering. As quickly as Jesus heals this man, so quickly he sends the leper, or the former leper, to secure a priestly witness. And we read Leviticus 14, and there we saw the details of how a former leper is again not made clean, but declared to be clean. And they shave, and they wash their clothes, and they bring three kinds of offering a week later. And we didn't read all of them, we just read one. I just want to highlight this one. You know, why is all of this going on? And the reason is because ritual signs, which are associated with cleansing, preach the gospel. in the same way that bread and cup preach the gospel. Now, did you hear that there were two birds? You're to bring two birds. And the one clean bird was to be killed, slain, sacrificed. And it was to be killed and over running water. But then the other bird was to be dipped in the blood of the sacrifice and then to be set free. And here's a beautiful picture of atonement. One bird killed for the other. One was sacrificed so that the other one, under the blood of the sacrifice, could be set free. And that's exactly what this leper is experiencing. Christ wants him to get it. Go to the priest. Go to the priest, because it's there that you're going to see the gospel and you're going to understand what I just did to you. I'm the bird who's slain. You're the bird who's atoned for and made free. The sacrifices serve as a testimony of God's cleansing work for the leper and for us. So here are two commands of the king. Don't tell anyone, go to the priest. And how does the leper respond? It says in verse 45, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around. There's a couple of things to consider here about the I don't know the motive of the leper. We don't know the motive of the leper. But there is something to say. There is a rebuke to be given to this leper, even in all of their zeal and excitement. You see, the leper wanted to be cleansed, but did he want to submit his life to Jesus? It's still true today. Often we come to Jesus because we see what He offers to us. We see that we have gain with Christ. And yet, very often what we don't see is, at least right away, is that Jesus doesn't want to just give something to us. He wants us. Jesus wants you. He doesn't just want your faith. It doesn't just want your declaration, oh, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. Oh, thank you for noticing. Be clean. That's not what Jesus is looking for. Jesus wants you. Jesus cleanses you in order to change you. You see, Jesus is not simply cleaning this man up, and He's not merely cleaning you up. He is enabling you to be devoted to Him. And this is why this narrative is distinct and different from a healing narrative. Because in the cleansing of Jesus, we are actually made holy. Many people today want health insurance. I'm not knocking health insurance. I'm just pointing out a fact that we want health insurance so that we... Let me clarify this. Some of us want health insurance so that we don't have to live healthy lives. I mean, right? Give me that health insurance. Awesome. Now I can eat all the pizza and ice cream I want, right? Now I can go and do dangerous things like jump out of airplanes. Many people want holiness insurance, so they don't have to walk in holiness. You hear what I'm saying? People want to be cleansed by Jesus, but they're not expecting that they have to live cleansed or holy lives. Now that's one possible motive, and I just want you to think about your own heart and your own struggles. Jesus wants you. In reality, though, like this leper, maybe we just have immature faith. That's mostly our issue, right? We mean well, but we don't appreciate that Jesus gives us certain commands because He wants to prevent certain kinds of harm to us and to His ministry. This leper is acting as if he knows better than Jesus on how to advance the kingdom of God. Wait till I tell everybody. Well, that might seem right, but Jesus said don't. The leper demonstrates here why he needed not only an external physical cleansing from Jesus. He didn't just need to be healed of his leprosy. He needed an inward spiritual cleansing. He needed to be spiritually clean, which again is why Jesus sent him to the priest. It's interesting, finally, in this section to note how often when we pray for people who have physical ailments, when we pray for people who are sick or injured, often we pray for those particular physical ailments to be healed, and that's kind of it. Maybe we should be praying that the Spirit of God would use the trials in the lives of our friends and loved ones to bring awareness of spiritual sickness, so they would know their need, that they would cry out to God like this one, and that God would grant healing in response to their cry. Well, notice finally what happened because the leper did not obey the voice of the king in verse 45. And this is our fourth point. The king trades places with the leper. The king is banished like a leper. He went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. So Jesus removes the burden of this leper, and the leper places his burden on Jesus. Jesus becomes banished into unpopulated, into desolate places, into the wilderness. And this is the service of our King. He denies Himself. He takes up our burdens. Now you remember Adam and Eve. After their sin, they were banished from their home due to their uncleanness. And you and I, we were made outcasts with them. But what Jesus is teaching us here, what Mark is drawing attention to, and he wants to bring the gospel to bear on your life as he brings this out. He says that Jesus trades places with the outcast. He trades places with the unclean in order that the outcast and the unclean might be restored and welcomed back into community to have fellowship again. And isn't it interesting? Jesus can alienate himself. He can willingly go out into the wilderness places, but he has the power to draw his people to himself that come out to him. Jesus isn't limited by the wilderness. Now let me say one thing then about the application of this text as we consider this table. This table is like that gospel ministry of sacrifice. This table represents for us that Jesus has traded places with us spiritual lepers. The clean is sacrificed for the unclean. And so this table demonstrates the atonement of Christ. A broken body, shed blood. Further, this table represents that Jesus has made us ritually clean. He has made a way for us to come to this table. We can't come to this table if our sins are not dealt with. And yet, what does Jesus declare to us? Your sins are forgiven. And so we have atonement and we have forgiveness, but further, we have more here. Jesus has brought us into His family. Sin separates and alienates us, but Christ welcomes us and He communes with us and He offers Himself to feed us and to nourish us by faith. And this table represents also what Jesus wants us to understand. That we are not merely declared to be clean. We have been made holy by this Christ. Holy for His worship. Holy for His service. Holy for His obedience. You are not your own, but you belong body and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is forgetting that that most gets in the way of our growth in holiness. We're like the leper who still thinks that he belongs to himself. Well, we've been given much here this day and in this text. And so let me summarize it then in saying this. We're all spiritual lepers. We have a true internal condition and corruption. By faith, we are able to sense our need for cleansing and not pursue the things that often defile us more, but instead to pursue this Jesus who's able to cleanse us from our offensiveness. He was pleasing to the Father in every way. He became an offense to God to save the offensive. And the cross not only shows His power, but it shows His willingness to make us clean. You want to know that Jesus is willing to make you clean? Just look at this right here. This is what He did to make you clean. This demonstrates His willingness. So come to Jesus like this desperate and humble and reverent leper. Come to this table confessing your sin and your belief in Jesus, that He is willing to make you clean, and experience then the embrace and the communion of this God, this compassionate King. Hear Him say to you in this meal, "I am willing. Be clean." Amen.